So we'll read from chapter 7 and verse 36 to the end of the chapter, and then the first three verses of chapter 8. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterward he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna the wife of Chusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them, or for him, out of their means. Amen. We trust that God will bless his word to us. It's a very interesting story we have before us today from Luke's Gospel. It's a story of two contrasting characters. Actually, Luke's Gospel is a feature of Luke's Gospel to bring before us stories of two contrasting characters. I remember Eddie brought that to my attention many moons ago when I was there at student lunch, must be many years ago. In Luke 18, we have the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. In Luke 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. In Luke 15, these are examples. In Luke 15, we have the story of two sons, the young unruly son and the older obedient son. These stories are unique to Luke's Gospel. And then here In chapter 7, we have another event, another incident in the life of the Lord Jesus. Two characters, two contrasting characters. We have a critical host, and we have a contrite guest. So we're going to think about that. And to finish off that incident, we have the story of the cancellation of debt, an illustration that the Lord Jesus brought before Simon and those who were in Simon's house. So we're going to think about these two people. And I wonder who you would identify with. You know, when we read, or maybe we watch a film or we read a story there, we would identify, and usually we would identify with the goodie, and there would be a baddie in the story. I suppose when we look at this story, we would maybe be inclined to despise Simon, and we would have sympathy with the woman. But I just want to bring before you today that Simon was a very good person. He's the kind of person you would love to have as a neighbour. Simon wouldn't sort of throw wild parties on a Saturday night to keep you awake. He wouldn't throw cigarette stubs in your flower bed. He would always pick up after his dog. He would be the kind of person. He was a good man. Your perfect neighbour. And then we have this sinful woman. And we're going to think about that. I wonder who you see yourself as. Trust that we're going to just look into our hearts as we look into these two people and learn from what the Lord Jesus taught them. It follows on from what's happened before. We read in verse 30, and Kevin spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, how the Pharisees, this group of religious people, they had rejected the Lord Jesus. It says that the Pharisees had rejected the purpose of God in verse 30. And then we come further down, and in verse 34 we read that the people said of the Lord Jesus that he is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Now they said this as a sort of a derisory comment about the Lord Jesus. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. He's a friend of these people who no one wanted to associate with. So there are these two groups of people, the Pharisees, the religious people, and there are the tax collectors and sinners who Jesus ate with and he was a friend of. And the two people in the story represent these two groups. And so in verse 36 we read that Simon the Pharisee invited the Lord Jesus into his house to eat with him. We don't know why Simon invited the Lord Jesus. Perhaps he was in two minds about Jesus. Perhaps he was impressed with his teaching, his moral teaching. Maybe he was thinking that he was a prophet. Or maybe he wasn't too sure. Maybe he wasn't too he wasn't two minds about him. So he wanted to find out more about the Lord Jesus. And so he invites him into his house. Just before we go into that, I think it's worth just pointing out that there are a couple of events, other stories similar to these in the other Gospels. So, for example, we read of Mary of Bethany anointing the feet of Jesus in John chapter 12. It's a different story. Just wanted to point that out. This is a different story. There are many differences. In particular, it's the conversation that ensues after the events, after the anointings, which are quite different from the two stories. So this is a different story from John chapter 12, when Mary anointed the feet of Jesus. This was a sinful woman who came. And we are introduced to her in verse 37. It says, "And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, she came." We're not given her name, this woman. But she's just described as a woman of the city who was a sinner. Now, the Bible makes one thing clear. It makes many things clear. But there's the one thing that the Bible makes very clear is that we are all sinners, without exception. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a very clear teaching of Scripture. But the way that this woman is described as a sinner suggests that she was a very obvious sinner. Here was a woman, you could say, a woman of the streets, a woman with a bad reputation, possibly a prostitute. So she was sinful from that, and in people's eyes, they looked down at her as a sinner. It speaks of an immoral past. An immoral past. But as we come to learn more about this woman, we realize that this woman has been changed. She might have had an immoral past, but something has changed in her. There's been a transformation in her life. And so she comes. She was a very courageous woman. You know, Simon the Pharisee, he was a man who was looked up to in society. He was very, very religious. Here was a man with an here was a woman who had an immoral past. Yet she has the courage to come in to the house, into where they were reclining a table. And she didn't come empty-handed either. We read that she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. It was like she brought a bottle of perfume, really. An alabaster flask was a round container with a long neck, and they had in it, she had in it, perfumed oil. And to empty the contents, you had to break the neck of this flask. And she came with this perfumed oil. It was a costly thing. She didn't come empty-handed. And she came to the Lord Jesus. It says that they were reclining at table with other guests. Now, that's not something that we would do in our day. In those days, when you were at a meal, you were at the table, and there were low couches around the table, and people reclined, leaning on the left arm, with the head toward the table, and the feet and the body sort of stretched away from the table. So there they were. They were leaning, they were reclining with the feet and the body stretched away from the table. And before they sat down or they reclined at table, they would take off their sandals. That was the custom. And so this woman, she comes with her flask of ointment, perfumed oil. And as she came near the Lord Jesus, she came behind him, her emotions got the better of her. And she started to cry, and her tears fell on the feet of the Lord Jesus. And she wiped his feet with her hair. She kissed his feet anointed them with the perfumed oil that she had brought with her. This was a very menial task, to attend to the feet of a person at a feast like this would be reserved to a slave. And here she came. She was a contrite guest. She was aware. She was so aware of her own sinfulness. And she was so thankful for what the Lord Jesus had done that she wanted to express her gratitude. She wanted to express her thanks to the Lord Jesus. And so her tears rolled down on his feet. She wiped his feet with her hair. She kissed his feet. She anointed his feet. A tremendous act of gratitude and of love. And here we see, we understand as we read this, that something had happened in this woman's life. She was expressing her gratitude to the Lord Jesus. If you piece together the chronology of the four gospel records, it is quite possible, we read Matthew 11 and we kind of piece it together with Luke's gospel, it's quite possible that these words spoken by the Lord Jesus were spoken just not long before he came to Simon's house. Come unto me, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28, that great verse. Come unto me, Jesus said, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Perhaps, and it's just a perhaps, some speculation, perhaps this woman had heard the Lord Jesus. We know that she had believed in him. When we come to the end of the story, in verse 50, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now this woman had faith. She had believed in the Lord Jesus. And now she was expressing her thanks, her gratitude. She was a sinner, yes. But she was a repentant sinner. She was a contrite guest at this party. But Simon, the Pharisee, he was not impressed. Says in verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself. Now he didn't have the courage to say it to the Lord Jesus. He said it to himself. Maybe he was just thinking this. If this man were truly a prophet, he would have perceived who and what kind of woman this is that touches him. In Luke's chapter 7, earlier on in chapter, in verse 16, it says, the people said, a great prophet has risen among us. A great prophet. There were those who believed that the Lord Jesus was the prophet that was to come, that had been promised and prophesied about. Here he was, the great prophet. People were starting to believe this. But Simon, he was critical. Simon was cynical. He said, if he really knew, if he really was a prophet, then he would have known that this woman is a sinner. He doesn't show much prophetic discernment, Simon was thinking. Allowing a sinful woman like that to anoint his feet. Now we thought earlier that Simon was a very good man. The kind of person we would like to have as a neighbour. But he had one big problem. And that was blindness. Blindness. Blindness to his own sin. in blindness to the grace of the Lord Jesus that he could show to a repentant sinner. Jesus was a prophet, and he showed it here in that he could read Simon's thoughts. And he said to Simon, I have something to tell you. So the Lord Jesus, he says, I have something to say to you. And Simon says, say it, teacher. And the Lord goes on to tell a story, a little parable, just a very short parable. And he says, there was a moneylender who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and one owed 50 denarii. Now, a denarius was a day's wage. So there was one who owed 50 days' wages, 2 months' worth of wages. And there was one who owed 10 times that. So there was a small debtor and there was a large debtor. Both debts were cancelled in this illustration. And Jesus asked Simon, who loves more? Now, which of them will love him more? He asks this question directly to Simon. And grudgingly, Simon gives the answer. The one, I suppose, who owed the larger debt. That was the right answer. I guess the answer is obvious. If you owed a lot of money and your debt was cancelled, you would be full of gratitude. If you owed little and that was cancelled, your gratitude would be less. That's the idea. And Simon got it. And although grudgingly, because I think Simon was starting to realize the penny was perhaps starting to drop for Simon, that the Lord Jesus was pointing his finger at him and not to the sinful woman, the one, I suppose, who owed the larger debt. Now, I think we have to be, this is a very simple parable, is it not? But we have to be careful in how we apply it. Because this parable does not deal so much with the amount of sin in a person's life, but the awareness of sin in a person's heart. It's not so much the amount of sin that is the point. It's the awareness of it. Simon was a sinner. Perhaps his sin didn't manifest itself like this woman. It was obvious to the people that she was a sinner. Simon was very religious, but Simon was also full of pride. Simon was a sinner, all right, but he did not realize. Both Simon and the woman were, you would say, bankrupt before God. But Simon didn't see it. The woman, on the other hand, she had realized her sin. And she had admitted that she was a sinner. She had repented from her sin. And she had expressed gratitude for it. So it's a simple illustration. It's a simple point that the Lord is making here. But we have to be careful. It's the awareness of sin that is the point, not the amount of sin. The other thing we have to be careful with is this, that it is not the woman's love that saved her. She wasn't saved because she anointed the feet of Jesus. Verse 50 makes that very clear. He said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." There'd been a moment in this woman's life when she had believed on the Lord Jesus. It was that which saved her. It was because of that that her sins were forgiven. And he said to her in verse 48, "Your sins are forgiven." How come were her sins forgiven? Because she had had faith. She had put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Because of her faith, because she had had her sins forgiven, she came to the Lord Jesus and she expressed her gratitude. She expressed her love by anointing his feet. And this is a tremendous story. It's a very challenging story. And it speaks to us all. Whether you see yourself as this woman, or you see yourself as perhaps Simon the Pharisee, the finger is pointed at us. The amazing thing is that the Lord Jesus had time for both the Pharisee and the sinner. He was a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yes, but he also went into Simon the Pharisee's house. He had time for both. There was no one who was too good for the Lord Jesus, and there was no one who was too bad. It's a bit like John's Gospel. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus had time for Nicodemus, a Pharisee. We come to chapter 4 of John's Gospel. He speaks to the woman at the well who had been married 7 times. He had time for the good, and he had time for the bad. And in each occasion, in every circumstance, the Lord's message, although it was maybe spoken in different ways, it was communicated in different ways, both sets of people had to come to realize that they were sinners before God, that they had to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus to be saved. And then through having been saved, people like this woman, she offered her life to the Lord Jesus. She expressed her gratitude to him. It's a challenge to all of us to recognize that we are sinful before God, that we need Christ as our Savior, that we need forgiveness. And if we have come to that understanding, to come to that realization, we need to continue in that realization. It's said of John Newton, he is the man who wrote the best known hymn of all times, Amazing Grace. He said in his old age, John Newton said, "My memory is fading, but I remember 2 things clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." That's tremendous. May that be true of all of us. To keep us humble, to keep us thankful, that we realize, I am a great sinner, Christ is a great Savior. Simon, it seems, didn't grasp it, but the woman had, and she offered her gratitude to the Lord Jesus. And as we come into chapter 8, but we'll not deal with that, we see that this was not the only woman who followed the Lord Jesus. There were many other women. In fact, it's another feature of Luke's Gospel, dealing with the many women who followed the Lord Jesus. We sometimes think of the 12, disciples, but in Luke 8 and verse 1 to 3, we read of those who had whose lives had been changed. They'd been saved. They'd been forgiven. And it changed their life. They were now providing for the Lord Jesus out of their means. Just like this woman of Luke 7, who used what she had to express gratitude to the Lord Jesus. May God speak to us today through his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for this time. And we sang earlier today, this morning, "Oh, teach me what it meaneth, for I am full of sin. And grace alone can reach me, and love alone can win. Oh, teach me, for I need thee. I have no hope beside the chief of all the sinners for whom the Saviour died." Father, help us to realise this. Help us to realise our sin. Help us to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and to thank him for what he has done. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.